good afternoon. You are tuned in to Juno Afternoon for Wednesday, the 26th of October, the year 2016. I'm Jeff Brown. I'll be your host for today. We'll be getting an update on activities at the Gastineau Humane Society with board members Marina Lindsay and Bree Willie. Marie Levischuk and Leander Lutlis will be here to discuss the Giving Thanks event. We'll learn how you can help the hungry and get a good deal on used ski equipment at this year's Juno Ski Sale Food Drive. And we'll learn more about the Juno Nordic Ski Club. That Riders on the Neck, Burnout Music and more on a Juno Afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, cloudy skies with patchy fog, low temperatures in the mid-30s. Forecast for Thursday, cloudy skies with patchy fog, high temperatures in the mid-40s.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. U.S. Department of Interior Secretary Sally Jewell is calling for increased tribal involvement in land management decisions. Although it's not a legal mandate, tribes are calling it a landmark order. The secretary was in Fairbanks, Alaska, addressing people gathered at the recent Alaska Federation of Natives annual convention. Correspondent Emily Schwing has more.
Jewell says the order is a directive for federal land agencies to identify opportunities to work with tribes. She says it will incorporate traditional knowledge on landscapes important to Native Americans.
That how do we facilitate a closer working relationship between indigenous people and our land management agencies on landscapes that the indigenous people of this country sustainably managed for millennia?
The order doesn't call for what the federal government calls co-management. The Northwest Intertribal Fish Commission manages salmon resources under a formal agreement, but Jewell says with her new directive, she doesn't want to set inappropriate expectations for federal agencies or tribes. The Alaska Federation of Natives praised the order for setting goals for tribal participation in a broad range of land management decisions. I'm Emily Schwing in Fairbanks.
Advocates raised awareness about domestic violence and discussed efforts to keep Native families safe. They recently spoke at Haskell Indian Nations University in Lawrence, Kansas, as Rhonda Lavaldo reports.
At the Keeping It Sacred conference put on by Haskell Indian Nations University's Title IX coordinator, Elise Towie, she wanted to not just include stats, but how to heal from abuse.
We started it off with a prayer. We started it off with an honoring song for victims and survivors.
Native American lawyer Sarah Deer also presented and gave credit to the passage of the Violence Against Women Act for providing funding to inform tribes about domestic violence.
Doing awareness in the community and providing services to victims. And so I think more and more tribal nations now have, you know, you don't have to have funding to do some of this work, but it certainly doesn't hurt in being able to have and compensate, you know, your advocates in the community, all of that.
Deer recently released her latest book titled The Beginning and End of Rape, Confronting Sexual Violence in Native America. This is Rhonda Lavaldo for National Native News.
The Speaker of the Navajo Nation Council is clarifying news reports about the Navajo Nation and industrial hemp. On Tuesday, Speaker Lorenzo Bates refuted news reports that the Navajo Nation had signed a memorandum of understanding with a company to grow industrial hemp. Reports surfaced after a Forbes story came out this week about the tribe and hemp. Tribal officials say no MOU exists with the company Canna Native, but say there have been exploratory discussions. Bates notes hemp production on the Navajo Nation would require changing current tribal laws that prohibit it. Bates adds tribal council members have voted down past measures involving marijuana. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe is hosting a press conference and media tour today at the Cannonball campsite in North Dakota. The tribal council says Reverend Jesse Jackson will join the tribe and others who are opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline project. The tribe and its supporters say the project is a threat to land and water. A number of high-profile individuals, including celebrities, are publicly showing support to the tribe. A panel was held on the Standing Rock Reservation Tuesday night to discuss the pipeline, which included advocates and actor Mark Ruffalo. Native American groups are speaking out against Indian mascots as the World Series takes place between the Cubs and Indians. Native groups have long opposed the Cleveland Indians baseball team name and mascot Chief Wahoo. The groups People Not Mascots and Cleveland American Indian Movement are among organizations that want the team to get rid of the name and mascot. Members of the Cleveland Native community have planned demonstrations at Progressive Field to protest the team's name and logo. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
6 minutes past the hour, and you are attended to a June afternoon here on listener-supported public broadcasting. Our first guests in the studio are Marina, Lindsay, and Bree Willie from the Gastineau Humane Society here to talk about the society and how you can help out. Thanks for coming out to the station.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So if people aren't familiar with the Gastineau Humane Society, can you give us an overview, please?
You want me to tell? So the Gastineau Humane Society is, it's been in existence for, I believe, about 50 years in Juneau, and it's a nonprofit organization. Our mission is the promotion of animal welfare for animals in Juneau. And so we take in homeless animals and care for them and vaccinate them and do spay and neuter and all of those things to get them healthy and then put them up for adoption. And so we a lot of our funding is from donors, and we're here to highlight an event that we're doing this Friday, which is a wine and beer tasting. And all of the funds will be going to support the shelter and the animals that our great GHS staff take care of.
But how many animals do you have, and what kind of animals are there?
There currently, that completely varies, but I think there are about 6 dogs in the shelter right now. And we always have a few more cats, so there are closer to 20 cats at the shelter, I believe. Some of those include kittens, and we do have other animals like chinchillas and ferrets. I think we have about 6 ferrets and a couple of parakeets and a bunny, and it just completely, it shifts over like daily, actually. New animals come in, and so if anyone wants to adopt small animals, we get a lot of small animals in there that really need good homes.
If you're a sucker for a furry face.
Exactly. It's a good place to go. And if you can't adopt right now, we are always looking for volunteers to go and walk animals, dogs or pet cats and things like that.
What kind of qualities does a typical volunteer have?
We have a variety of volunteers, and we can use help with the animals. So like Bree said, walking the dogs or grooming the cats. We also welcome parents with young children to come in, so the animals are socialized with kids also. That's fun for the animals as well as for the kids. We also need people to help out with more administrative type things, you know, stuffing envelopes, helping do mail outs, other office work that needs to be done. There's always plenty of laundry and plenty of dishes to be washed as well.
What kind of costs are there for running the facility?
Costs for running. Well, we have all the regular costs that you have to run a building in Juneau. You've got heat, water, and maintaining things. We also have the costs of food and vaccines and spay and neutering. Do you want to?
Sure. I can just give a couple of financial costs that for things like it takes about $50 a month to feed one large dog. So there's food expenses for the animals, and then about $75 will vaccinate an animal against fatal but preventable diseases like rabies, distemper, and parvo, so that an animal can safely enter into the adoption program. And then about $100 will help the cost of covering to spay or neuter an animal. and then about $250 will pay for heat, water, and electricity for the shelter for 2 days. So.
And you distribute dog licenses there too?
We do. And those, we do. The shelter is, one side of the shelter is a nonprofit, and the other side of the shelter is animal control, which is funded by a contract from the city, and that covers the salary of 3 animal control officers who are on call 24/7, responding to calls from the public, as well as we have a 4 kennels in the front area that are open 24 hours a day for people to drop off pets that they find running loose. Like, say you see a dog in Egan that you don't want to have it get hit, you can grab it and take it to the shelter. Or if people need to relinquish pets because they can't or don't want to take care of them anymore, we take them in those kennels, and that's under the animal control. And then the animals are kept and evaluated to make sure that they're healthy, and we vaccinate them or spay neuter if they are put into the adoption program after, I think it's 5 days. And the animal control also does education in town to teach kids, school kids, how to treat animals humanely and be safe around animals.
And pick up after your dog.
And pick up after your dogs, definitely.
And you're here today not to talk about dog poop, but to talk about the wine tasting you have coming up and also the calendar.
Yes. So the wine, I'll talk about the wine tasting just a little bit. It's a wine and beer tasting, and this is our 3rd year that we are doing the wine tasting. It's going to be at the Jack this Friday starting at 5:30, and it goes until 8:30. So we have 2 wine vendors, Specialty Imports and K&L Distributors, and then the Alaskan Brewing Company has very generously donated some beer as well. So we'll have those 3 vendors and a lot of really fantastic silent auction items. Alaska Airlines has donated 2 tickets, so that will be one of our great auction choices. And then,
is this 2 tickets for the dogs?
It's 2 tickets for the dogs. No, actually, it is for humans. But there is another auction item that I think is really cool is the tram has a tram pass with a pooch pass, and so you can bid on that. And in the summertime, someone can take their furry companion up to the top of Mount Roberts easily, which is really fun. And let's see, what else about the wine tasting?
We also have a very decadently catered menu from the Breeze Inn, so there'll be plenty of food for everyone. So with your ticket, you get your wine, you get your beer, you get food, you have lots of silent auction items to choose from. It's a good time to do your holiday shopping and support the Humane Society at the same time.
And Allison Holtkamp, who probably a lot of people know, is an actor around Juneau and a fantastic person. She is going to be our MC that evening, encouraging people to look at the silent auctions and just have a great time.
It's all happening this Friday.
It is.
And you're also working on a calendar.
We are working on a calendar. We do an annual Alaska Pets Photo Contest, so people who have pets around Alaska can submit photos to the contest, and then people vote for them online. And we take the top 10 photographs from votes, and they go in the calendar, and then the Juneau Photo Group picks 2 winners from the rest of the candidates. So they picked best overall photograph and most creative. And then the Gastineau Humane Society board picks the cover. And I'm working on putting that calendar together right now. We should have those for sale in about 2 weeks.
Maybe come back on the show and talk about it.
Sure.
Is it more dogs, more cats?
This year we had more dogs entered in the photo contest, but there are 2 cats featured in the calendar. And it's super top secret, but one of them might be on the cover. And there are lots of, I try to put as many of the animals as I can, at least on the back cover, if they're not one of the winners. So we've got an equal distribution of, or pretty close to equal distribution of cats and dogs. And there's 1 bird who was entered.
No ferrets.
No ferrets. We did have a ferret entered last year or the year before, but no. But there's always next year. You could enter one.
First, I'd have to get a ferret.
Or you could come take a picture of one of ours at the shelter. No problem.
All right, I've been talking with Marina Lindsay and Bree Willey about the activities of the Gastonia Humane Society. Anything you want to talk about before we go to the next guest?
We'd love to see you all Friday, so come on by. There should be some more tickets at the door. I think we have maybe 20 left at this point.
How much are they?
The tickets are $35 per person.
And you can also buy them on our website, the GHS. It's www.ghspets.org.
All right. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks so
Thank
much,
you.
Jeff.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 26th of October, 2016. It's the birthday of the playwright John Arden, born in Barnsley, England, 1930, best known for his play Sergeant Musgrave's Dance. It was on this day, 1900, Henry James wrote his first letter to the young novelist Edith Wharton, beginning a long friendship. Wharton was an admirer of James's work. She sent him one of the first short stories she ever wrote. He wrote back to say that he liked the story, but she shouldn't write about Europe if she didn't live there. He said, "Be tethered in native pastures, even if it reduces you to a backyard in New York." So she was inspired to write about New York, and the result was her first big novel, The House of Mirth, in 1905. They remained friends for the rest of Henry James's life, even as Edith Wharton became more and more successful and Henry James's novels sold less and less well. It's the birthday of the Russian novelist and poet Andrei Bely, which was the pen name of Boris Nikolaevich Bagayev. Born Moscow, 1880, best known for his 1913 novel Petersburg, a book of which Nabokov said, "My greatest masterpieces of 20th century prose are Joyce's Ulysses, Kafka's Transformations, Bailey's Petersburg, a story of conspiracy and betrayal during the 1905 Russian Revolution." And it's the birthday of the early self-help writer Napoleon Hill, born in a one-room cabin in Wise County, Virginia, in 1883. He was a reporter, and when he was in his mid-20s, he was assigned to interview Andrew Carnegie, who had grown up poor in Scotland, worked his way up in the American steel industry, became one of the richest men in the world. Carnegie told Hill that in his opinion there was a formula for success and anyone could achieve it. And he told the young man he ought to consider writing a book about the idea. So he went around interviewing hundreds of successful people. And in 1937, he published his book, Think and Grow Rich. It was enormously successful, and it still is. It has sold more than 70 million copies. Book in which he wrote, "Do not wait, the time will never be just right. Start where you stand and work whatever tools you may have at your command, and better tools will be found as you go along." Here's a poem for today by Thomas Lux regarding most songs, with a quotation from Joseph Addison, "Whatever is too stupid to say can be sung." The human voice can sing a vowel to break your heart. It trills a string of banal words, but your blood jumps regardless. You don't care about the words, but only how they're sung and the music behind, the brass, the drums. Oh, the primal, necessary drums behind the words. So dumb, their power, the bang and the boom, and again the bang, we cannot, need not, live without, nor without other means to make sweet noise, the guitar or violin, the things that sing, the plaintive, joyful sounds, which is why I like songs best when I can't hear the words, or better still, when there are no words at all. Regarding most songs, a poem by Thomas Lux, from The Street of Clocks, published by Houghton Mifflin and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse, back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this programming on KTOO is provided by Sam Keto, Democratic candidate for Alaska State House District 33, paid for by Sam Keto for State House, P.O. Box 21192, Juneau, Alaska 99802.
It's 23 minutes past the hour, and you're tuned into a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest is Leander Lewis, who's here to tell us about a great way to benefit the ski sale and also people who need a little help with food this year. Leander, thank you very much for coming by.
It's my pleasure. This is the first annual, and hopefully many more to come to follow, called Giving Thanks event. We figured that we had all of these wonderful people waiting in line. Why not give them a wonderful cup of Heritage coffee in exchange if they gave us some canned food? So we are partnering with the Glory Hole Shelter and Soup Kitchen this year, and we are looking for specific food items like potatoes, canned green beans. So my suggestion would be when you go to the grocery store, whatever you're going to buy for Thanksgiving, just double it and bring it on down. Now, we are going to offer people who aren't going to be at the ski sale, we're going to offer them the opportunity to come in at 10 o'clock. They can drop their stuff off. If they'd like to bring a turkey, we're going to have freezers there so they can put the food in the – we can put the turkey right into the freezer. And we're trying to feed about 400 families over this Thanksgiving. And it's just the perfect time for those of us that are going to ski and be out in the snow playing to also take care of those folks who are just looking for food to survive through the winter.
That's really a great idea. Catch people while they're waiting in line.
That's right. So while you're waiting in line, we're going to have a friendly person come up, offer you a cup of coffee as long as you have some canned goods or mashed potatoes or gravy mix or cider, stuffing, whipped cream. Just think of that wonderful dinner that you're going to have, and let's share yours with someone else.
Now, if there's people listening who aren't familiar with the ski sale, could you give us a description, please?
Well, the ski sale, as you know, has been in existence for 64 years, and so we thought this was a great way to add value to it. The ski sale will be open to the public from 10 until 1 o'clock. Actually, we start at 6:30 in the morning if everybody getting in line. So if you're in line at 6:30, that's when we're going to give you the coffee. If you come at 10, we figure there won't be a line, so we won't be giving you coffee, but you certainly can drop off your food goods at that time. We will have a table inside for the glory hole. And then also, for those of you who've been to the ski sale before, you know there's lots of vendors and lots of great things to purchase, both new and used, at the ski sale.
And you have a list here to give people ideas what to bring.
Yes, I do. Yes. Would you like me to tell you specifically what would be wonderful if you bring?
That'd be great.
Okay. So if you could bring instant mashed potatoes, gravy mix, sparkling cider, whipped cream, canned green beans, can't have Thanksgiving without green beans, canned corn, cranberry sauce, canned fruit, and canned peas.
Plus,
you could bring a turkey.
And you want to feed 400 families.
Yes, sir, we want to feed 400 families.
Good on you. And starting at 6:30 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon, the Juneau Ski Sale, which is happening Saturday, November 5th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Centennial Hall. There's an admission to the ski sale at $5 for adults, and kids 12 and under are free. There's even a door prize, an Eagle Crest season pass, donated by Eagle Crest.
Absolutely. And we'll be there with a booth, so you don't have to pay to go into the ski sale if you want to drop food off. So we're just saying, if you don't want to come and buy skis or you don't want to be out in the snow and play with new equipment, fine. We'd love to take your canned items at that time.
Lynn, thanks very much for coming by.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anything you'd like to add, I might have forgotten to ask?
Well, I just think it's important for all of us to give thanks. As a newcomer to Juneau, I've been very excited about this community, and this is sort of my way of giving thanks by helping coordinate this.
Thanks for coming down.
You're welcome.
About 29 minutes before the hour, and you're tuned into Juneau Afternoon. Maria Levisuk just stopped by and tell us a little bit more about the Glory Hole.
So we are, as everybody knows, an emergency shelter and soup kitchen and care center, and we are super excited about partnering with the Ski Swap to help us collect food for the turkey boxes. And so if anybody has not signed up for their turkey box, it'd be great if you could please call us at 586-4159 to sign up.
And you're looking for 400 turkeys.
We're looking for 400 turkeys, and if we have anything left over, we'll share with Salvation Army so that they would have enough food for their Christmas boxes. And also we use the turkeys that are left over throughout the year for our lunch program.
All right. Maria, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
31 minutes past the hour, and you're on tuned into June Afternoon. Our next guest is Charlotte Brown, here to tell us about an activity that's happening tomorrow with the Society for Human Resources Management. Charlotte, thank you very much for coming down to the station.
Thank you. So we have a local chapter of SHRM, which is the Society of Human Resource Management. And tomorrow night, which is Thursday at 5:30 p.m., they will be holding their monthly meeting down at the University of Alaska Southeast Auk Bay campus. And we are hosting Dan Robinson, who's the Chief of Research and Analysis from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development at the State of Alaska. And he'll be addressing the members on his new data for demographics for the state in Juneau, as well as job projections for the state in Juneau. And we're encouraging all human resource professionals in the area, as well as small business owners or anyone who might be interested in that kind of economic information, to come out and join us. We're going to have shrimp and hors d'oeuvres, and there's no fee. And it's just going to be a nice, lovely evening at the Auk Bay campus with the SHRM Society.
Tell me more about the SHRM Society, please.
Of course. So SHRM, as we affectionately refer to it, is a national organization, actually global, with global representation. It's really, really big in the lower 48, but we also have an Alaska SHRM State Council, which is based out of Anchorage, and then we have local regional chapters. And so we have a Southeast Alaska SHRM chapter, and it involves not only Juneau, but as well as Ketchikan and Sitka and kind of the surrounding areas. But we do a lot of our activities here in Juneau, where we have the bulk of our HR professionals.
And this is open to anybody who kind of thinks they might be interested.
Yeah, this event tomorrow night at 5:30 at UAS in the Egan Library, room 221, is open to anyone in the community who would like to join us and get to know Dan as well as other HR professionals in the area. It's a good time to network and have a light snack after work and learn some information that can help you be a valuable business partner with those people you're trying to support in your HR role or manage your business if you're the owner or if you're in executive management.
Look, just knowing about demographics in Alaska is kind of fascinating.
Exactly. And to kind of see what the projections are, what Dan's forecasting. And he's really excited about coming and addressing the HR community, because he's looking to get kind of hands-on, on-the-ground feedback in terms of applicant readiness for people that are applying for jobs or challenges they're facing, HR professionals are facing when they're recruiting people. It's kind of like the flip side of the coin. He's got all the data that he can see kind of boots on the ground, kind of getting that feedback from the HR professional. So it's kind of an interactive session rather than him just giving us information. He's hoping to get information as well from HR professionals in the area.
And is there a website or other way people can contact you to find out more
information? They could actually contact me at 907-796-6310. That's my work phone number. I'm a professor in the School of Management at the University of Alaska Southeast, so I'm pretty easy to track down. And that would be the best way at this point to contact me. And, again, anybody's welcome to attend at 5:30 tomorrow night at the UAS campus, Egan 221.
Why don't you give me that phone number one more time?
Yeah, sure. 907-796-6310. But no registration is required. Anybody can just walk in.
And what time should it be there?
It starts at 5:30, so I'd suggest maybe 5:15 for parking and maybe a couple of minutes of mixing and mingling. We kind of wanted to time it so that people could work maybe till 5 and then have time to drive over to the campus. So, or, you know, they could come earlier. And we expect it to last maybe an hour-ish, but if people can only come for 45 minutes and they need to leave early for some other commitment, that's perfectly fine. We're just really looking to revitalize our chapter, get people in the community talking, engage the university, and take advantage of this excellent, amazing data that we have right in our backyard that Dan's bringing to us right on the forefront.
Charlotte Brown, thank you for coming by.
Thank you, Jeff.
Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Let's see. No, that's it. Just come tomorrow night if this topic interests you at 5:30 tomorrow night.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Shine forever. I'd rather have fun now or never.
We fall and get up.
Yeah.
We fall and get up.
That's right.
We fall and get up. Shall we? Shall we? We fall and get up. We fall.
chance to get a piece of pie. I got many reasons not to give a love a try. Mama left me with that thing, goodbye. The world crushed me, I thought I was gonna die. I saw many die, I turned a blind eye. Death never left me, kept passing by. I call on Jesus to come by here, please come by here. Touch my head, cause I'm losing my hair. 7 years old and man, heart's gone cold. Brother slain, brother as the prophets foretold. Rivers turning red, kids burying the dead. Rivers turning red, kids burying the dead.
Music of Emmanuel Dahl. He'll be appearing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. Tickets are available at the door. He's really got a fascinating story to tell about growing up in Sudan as a child warrior. In the studio now with us are members of the Juno Nordic Ski Club. Thank you for coming by the station today.
Thanks for having us.
So, you want to tell me your first name, please? And
I'm Finn.
I'm Grace.
I'm Erin.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Abby. I'm one of the coaches.
I want our guests to tell me what they like about cross-country skiing.
One of my favorite things about Nordic skiing is the teamwork. Yeah, about it. It's really fun.
I like getting outside in the winter. Even though it's cold, it's still good to get exercise, and the team is really fun.
I enjoy our team. We are just such a tight-knit group, and
I really like training and staying in shape and then getting to race.
What I like about coaching these young athletes is that I get to pass along the skills of a sport that you can really do throughout your entire life. A lot of sports, as you age, it gets harder to do, and Nordic skiing is really a low-impact sport that you can do till forever, really.
How many Nordic ski trails are there in Juneau and Bassett out in the southeast?
Sure. So we have about four main areas that we have to choose from when it comes to Nordic skiing. There's two in the valley. One's the Mendenhall Campground, where all the roads there are groomed by our volunteers groomers every year that there's snow. There's also Montana Creek, which the road closes past the gun range, and after that they groom ski trails up there. And then, of course, there's Eagle Crest, where we have the lower loop trails and the upper loop trails to choose from when snow allows.
What's your favorite trail?
In the winter, I really like the lower loop when there's a lot of snow on it because there's a lot of big hills and it's just really fun.
I would have to say I really enjoy Eagle Crest also. I really like the upper loop. I love how, you know, all those big hills, it really helps, like, strengthen us.
I like skiing at the campground because there's hills, but it's also a lot of flat, and so you can practice all the techniques.
I really like skiing at the campground and especially on the lake when it freezes.
Now, you talked about special techniques. Describe a special technique or two.
Well, when it's flat, you can do V2, and that's using the poles and skiing on E-pole on either ski, like on each side. That's one.
What needs to happen when preparing a trail?
Well, first, we have to have enough snowpack, of course, and lately we've become, well, the volunteer groomers, who are part of the Juneau Nordic Ski Club, they have gotten very good at grooming with very little snow, but basically they need to roll it out, and then they come over it with a grooming device that basically turns the snow into corduroy, and then to lay a classic track, which is your traditional cross-country skiing striding, they'll basically take a weighted foot that has two metal tracks on it, and they'll just press a track into the snow. And, you know, mostly we just need snow, and we need time, and we need cold weather, and the rest comes together.
What do you mean gear? What kind of gear does one need to go cross?
Sure. For cross-country skiing, if you want to do the traditional classic technique, which is what so many people think of when they think of cross-country skiing, you just need some lightweight skis, poles, and the right kind of boots. For skate skiing, it's virtually the exact same kind of gear. It's just a different type of boot with a beefier ankle support, kind of like a downhill boot a little bit, and the skis are a little bit shorter, and they don't kick and glide like the classic skis do. But other than that, that's all you really need.
But how much would it cost to get into this sport?
If you are looking to train with the team, which we'd love to have folks come out for, our cost for the season is $300 of an activity fee, and that covers all the coaching and training 4 days a week. If you're just looking to get into it recreationally, you can spend anywhere between, you know, $150 to $600, depending on what kind of gear you get.
My first pair was a mohair.
Mine were Carhu.
How many skiers are there in Juneau, would you say, an estimate?
Gosh, there's a large, I mean, the community is relatively small when you think about it, but I say that it's big and small. I mean, I think that we have at least a couple hundred Nordic skiers in Juneau, and when you combine the alpine skiing side of things, it's a big crowd.
And there's a big age difference. I mean, you have, like, the teens like us, and then you also have, you know, like, the older people who love to just, like, go out and just have fun and just ski.
Do you plan on skiing when you're old and gray?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's a great sport. It's really low impact, so, yeah.
All right. What's your next activity coming up in the future?
Well, we are a Nordic competitive ski team. We work with athletes who are very advanced up in, you know, high levels of racing. all the way down to the development level where they're just learning how to ski. Maybe they're a first-year, second-year skier. And so our next thing that's coming up is we're doing dry land training. We don't have any snow yet, but we're really looking to stay in skiing shape, get in skiing shape. And so dry land for the Juneau Nordic Ski Team kicks off beginning in November. And then as soon as there's snow, we'll all switch over to skinny skis and start slipping and sliding around on the snow. But, you know, we are starting early. We start about this time every year, and we go until about March.
Now you're a coach and an instructor. What's the first kind of things that you tell people when they want to learn how to ski?
Be prepared to try new things every day. I mean, it really is one of those sports where if it feels weird, you're probably doing it right. And then slowly, slowly, what feels weird starts to feel more natural, and pretty soon it becomes second nature. So when I am talking to folks who are coming out for the first time, I just encourage them, just be open to trying new things, and you'll do great.
They might be able to pick up some good deals at the ski sale coming up.
Absolutely. In fact, for anybody who is interested in getting into the sport of Nordic skiing, it's really not very expensive compared to a lot of other sports that have a lot of equipment, that are equipment heavy. So I really do encourage folks to pop out to the ski sale on the 5th, that Saturday coming right up, and see what they can find. There are some deals out there. And if they don't, you know, if they can't find anything that they like, they should get in touch with us. And we can usually put them in touch with folks in town who might have some gear to get rid of. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for coming to have the station. Is there anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
Yeah. I'd say that if folks want to get in touch with us, they should email us at junonordicskiteam@gmail.com. That's junu.nordic.ski.team@gmail.com.
All right. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is Bird Note.
Can you name that tune? Here's a hint. Carmen Miranda, adorned with her signature fruit basket of a hat, danced and sang this lively samba alongside Groucho Marx in the 1947 movie Copacabana. The song is Tico Tico no Fubá, and like Carmen Miranda, came to us from Brazil. Believe it or not, the song is about a bird. The Portuguese lyrics tell the story of the Tico Tico, a local name for the rufous-collared sparrow. The rufous-collared sparrow is a handsome, familiar backyard bird found through much of Latin America. And like so many birds, Tico Tico was named for its song. Back to the lyrics. It seems the bird with the musical name, Tico Tico, keeps coming back to the singer's yard to dine on her cornmeal piled in a backyard granary. There are plenty of earthworms and fruit to eat, but Tico Tico prefers her dwindling supply of cornmeal. She offered it birdseed and let the cat out to chase it, but to no avail. Tico Tico loves her cornmeal. So whenever you hear this memorable samba, think of that persistent little sparrow atop a pile of cornmeal. For Bird Notes, I'm Mary McCann.
Hi, my name's Guy Crockroft. My dad was Gaylord Crockroft, and my mother was Sylvia Crockroft. At least, that's what I believed for 56 years. 6 months ago, I saw a show called Long Lost Family, inspiring stories about adoptees reuniting with their birth families. It touched me deeply, to my soul, to my spirit. And I remembered that my mother had once told me I was adopted. But I didn't believe it, because I had my birth certificate that had her name on it, and my dad's name on it. Years later, after they passed away, my aunt sent me a family tree, and that said I was adopted too, but I still didn't believe it. But now, I just had to find out. So, I did some internet research, and I found myself staring at a link that sent chills up and down my spine. It said, order your original pre-adoption birth certificate. I didn't know there was such a thing. Well, it came in the mail, and I stared at it like a deer in headlights. And it told me my real mother's name was Mary Margaret Johnson from Boise, who was 16. And I thought, Mary Johnson, I'll never find her. Why can't she have a weird name like Mary Crockroft? Well, there was no father listed and no first name or middle name for me. So I wasn't Guy Crockcroft. I was Baby Boy Johnson in desperate search of his mother. And so I hired the Salvation Army, who ran the hospital that I was born in, to find my mother. A couple of weeks later, they called and said, "I think we found the right person." And I was amazed and intrigued. And then I heard nothing for like 3 weeks. And I thought, well, they said they were going to send her a letter. Did she not get it? Is she sick? Does she just not want to talk to me? And I wondered. And then I got the call. "We found your mother. She's alive. She wants to talk to you." And I was overwhelmed. And they gave me her phone number. And as I punched in the numbers, I said, "Well, what do you say to the mother you've never met?" And I said, she answered, "Hello, this is Mary." I said, "Hi, Mom. This is your son, Guy Crockcroft. How are you?" And she said, "I'm great. I'm so glad to hear your voice. And you called me Mom. And I'm so glad you found me. And I only saw you for an hour, and they took you away, and you were gone without a trace until now." And I said, "What's my name?" And she said, "Sean Paul, S-E-A-N. I said, "Who's my dad?" She said, "Jack Caper, K-A-P-E-R. I think he's still around Boise. You could Google him." And so I did. And I found his phone number right away, called up. A lady answered, "Hello?" And I said, "Well, how do you start this conversation?" My internet research told me Dad was into running, and so am I. And so I said, well, she got him, and he says, "Hello." And I heard the voice of my real father for the first time. I said, "Hello, this is Guy Crockcroft. I'm a runner with the Southeast Roadrunners here in Juneau, Alaska. And I run a couple of marathons and some half marathons. And are you still involved with that race to Roby Creek?" He says, "Oh, yeah, it's a great race. I've run it many times." And so we talked about running. And finally I said, "I'm glad we have running in common, but that's not the real reason I called you. I'm 56. I just found out I was adopted. And my real mother's name is Mary Margaret Johnson." And he said, "Well, hello, son." He said, "I've always thought about you, and I hope to meet you someday. How did you find me?" And I said, "Well, Mom gave me your name last night, and I went to the internet, and there was your phone number." And he said, well, how is your mom?" I said, "Well, she sounded fine. I haven't met her yet." He says, "Well, what's her phone number?" So I gave him Mom's phone number, and then I thought, maybe I should ask Mom about that first. So I called up Mom. "Hello, Mom. I talked to Dad." "Well, you did? Really? Already?" "Yeah. How is he?" "Well, he's fine. He asked about you. And I gave him your phone number." "Is that okay?" She says, "Oh, yeah, that's fine. What's his number?" So they hadn't talked to each other for 50 years. So I was real anxious to go see them both. So on July 11th, 3 months ago today, I flew down to Boise to meet them. Now, I'd seen pictures. Mom had dark hair, beautiful eyes, an angelic smile, looked much younger than 72. My dad had long gray hair, a long gray beard, and a cheerful grin on his face. He looked like Santa Claus, only with my face. And so as I was walking out of airport security, I put on a name tag that said, "Hello, my name is Sean Paul." And I saw them through the glass, and they saw me, and they jumped up, and I burst through the door and threw my bag down. And I looked into my mother's face for the first time, and I saw her green eyes. They were my green eyes, and they were filled with tears of joy, just like mine. We fell into each other's arms, and I said, "Mom, you're my mother. I love you, Mom." And she said, "I love you, son. Thank you for coming. Thank you for finding us." And we hugged, and we cried. And then I looked at my dad, and I said, "Dad, you're my real father. I love you, Dad." He said, "I love you, son. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here." And we held each other, and we cried, and we hugged. And I thank God for the miracle of reuniting me with my mother and father. And I had my cell phone, And there was a guy standing there, and I said, hey, can you take a picture of us? This is mother, father, and son together for the first time ever, and I just turned 56. And he said, wow, that's awesome, sure. And he did. It's my favorite picture.
Thank you. It's recorded live at the Mudrooms event for October. We're going to be hearing the entire version of that presentation Thursday at 7 o'clock on KTO News. That's full Mudrooms for October. This is Thursday at 7 o'clock at KTO News.
Support comes from Playboy Spaceman, presenting the third annual Halloween School Party and Concert, Saturday, October 29th at 8 p.m. at the Jack. Tickets at PlayboySpaceman.com.
It's about 2 minutes before the hour, and you're tuned into it in the afternoon. Tomorrow on the show, we'll get a preview of this week's Evening at Egan presentation by Dr. Teresa John on Indigenous Ways of Knowing. Ruth Johnson will be here with an update of Saturday's Cancer Connection Health Forum. Juno Symphony conductor Troy Quinn will be here to highlight this weekend's performances. And Nancy Maturney will return with Arts Out. That Writer's Almanac, Burn Out More, Thursday on KTO at 3. Don't forget Emmanuel Dahl, performing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. Tickets are available at the door, and I think there's a few dozen left. Well, the forecast for tonight, cloudy skies with patchy fog, low temperatures in the mid-30s. Forecast for Thursday, cloudy skies, patchy fog, high temperatures in the mid-40s. Thursday night, scattered rain showers with low temperatures around 40. Friday, cloudy skies with highs in the mid-40s.